Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info.info. And today is Tuesday, January 28th, 2014. And this is our 218 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And occasionally we hear from Sharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Last week was amazing with Sharon. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis. And how's the weather?
Oh, well, beside still below freezing, ice is still flowing down the river. Keeping warm, bringing firewood in, keeping the house warm, plugging up all the holes. And I finally figured a way of putting a door on my cat hole. I have this round hole in the glass that goes out on the lanai.
Yeah.
And cats can walk on a deck through the bamboo and onto the deck or the lanai and then come in the house through this hole. And it's like, how do I seal this thing up? And finally I came up with the idea of a rubber ball on a string.
Mm-hmm.
Just dangling, they can move that out of the way. So that's next year. Can't figure everything out right away, but so it's that's the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the weather and the climate culturally and prophetically is getting pretty rough, and we're going to be heading into even more rough water soon. Globally, the climate, of course, is chaotic. Especially in the Middle East, but they're everywhere. We have problems, and they're not going to end. Although there may be, smoother times. And there's especially a time where it's being worked on very, very hard right now, which is to get the conflict around Israel, so also Syria's problems, to be smoothed over, actually, to get peace in the Middle East. But it's not that easy to do, because it's going to have other problems that will make even the world's greatest powers, strong nations, tremble. And these have to do with great, great big signs that we'll be aware of and we'll be able to see very clearly. One of them is your coldness, how the sign of a polar vortex moving cold down, even so much as this predicted, even to freeze down closer to Florida in the south, and areas where I am experienced right here in Hawaii, relatively chilly weather, down to 50 some odd degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. And that is approximately 30 degrees below the normal temperature around sea level, which is about 80 something degrees, sometimes 90 degrees. So we're not experiencing freezing weather, but in Hawaii, people call that freezing. And they go, oh wow, I'm freezing. Can't jump. The water doesn't look as nice anymore to jump in and swim around. Oh, boom, it's cold out there. Yeah, that's so. The polar vortex has moved down a bit, affecting everywhere, and it is part of what we're looking at right now, and that is the fact that our planet is still moving toward a magnetic polar reversal, and it's already taking excursion and weakness, and some of this has to do with the type of climate that we are having right now. As a matter of fact, we're looking at, Curtis, talking about space stuff, and
Oh, before we started, yes.
Yeah, you know, but different things about our this program has a lot to do with the space, outer space, and one of the most powerful and great things that are about to happen is a grand awakening. But before that grand awakening happens, when the universe created, well known as the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, who is my Lord and Savior, he will, along with his many angelic, you might say, UFO forces, which are inclusive of his angelic realm. You know, the celestial realm includes a lot of people, a lot of citizens. And in place, what is being put in place are tremendous spacecraft, bigger than our planet, capable of tremendous power. And what is presently happening in terms of the cultural, political climate is that our planet is being put through the ringer, you might say, of people being able to choose. You know, one of the things that was made clear by Tan was that, and Tan being, you know, Tan and Tan Onesel 1 and Tangen 1, but these are the two beings, or you might call them, if you want to, call them angels, call them aliens, call them extra Earth, extra planetary citizens of the galactic environment, whatever you want to call them. He made it clear that I didn't go over there because I chose to go there, to go to the New Jerusalem orbiting Saturn.
Yeah, you can't get tickets.
You can't. They choose you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what is it that, and how do they choose? What do they look for? You ever wonder that?
Of course, I've certainly wondered that.
Yeah.
Why Michael? Why Riley?
Yeah. Well, some of the things is a certain level of. You're talking about Tesla coming from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some who have been incarnated here, like Tesla, for a purpose. He was born here on Earth and had a physical body that was necessary in order that they fulfill their role. And some of their role may be to elevate. With Riley Martin, he had to break path for the greater awakening. And he was not assigned the purpose of helping to help people navigate their lives toward truth, higher realm of understanding. But I would never have come forward if he didn't break the pathway and make it clear. Now, it's a team effort, essentially, and it's constructed not by our own doing, but by the celestials themselves, to help introduce this grand awakening. But before this grand awakening takes place, there are many things that have been put in place already prophetically by those that they worked with much, much earlier. And I'm talking about times that maybe in the first century around Christ, or even before that, or in the time of the prophets of old. And there are many things that were placed in there, the hands of the prophets of old, that are being fulfilled right now. So those of you who wonder if any of this prophetic stuff is true, and how does religion and aliens come together, there's a closed-minded area of those who look at aliens as simply living beings that are from outer space, and they have nothing to do with God. And they're godly people who look at UFOs and aliens as nothing to do with God. In fact, everything to do with what they believe is anti-God or anti-Christ. Now, what and where we need to understand is allow ourselves to be opened into the awakening of what is going to be coming forward. And there are many things that people need to review. And, I'm not here to give biblical teachings, although I can and very well spend a lot of time doing just that. But I can point anyone who would wonder about it, it's where, because it's so easy to go and find biblical verses in the internet. If you're listening to me, you're well able to go on the internet and go to Matthew chapter 24. And in the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all somewhat developed from a similar source and stories checked back and forth, so that they almost find their story very similar. And they had a lot to do with compiling the words of Jesus Christ. It is significant because one of the important things about the celestial environment that is operational in terms of the New Jerusalem, that orbiting grand city that is orbiting Saturn right now, is that it is a special outpost. It's more than an outpost. It's a new capital that is being really developed right now for this system that we are functioning in. It's called a New Jerusalem, which is Jerusalem being the capital of this system of planets. And it is a celestial ship commissioned by the creator of this universe for the task of preserving and awakening the rest of the universe in the entire plan of the universe population. Universe cannot be populated by terrible beings or beings, let's say, dinosaurs that never would go anywhere. Let's look at the concept of what had happened. I sat there in front of the monitors because there was a time in which I had gone through enough introduction into the celestial environment, meeting so many different kinds of people, understanding different materials, and then sat down in front of these monitors and told to just view it. So one of the things I viewed was dinosaurs. And dinosaurs were very, very real, enacted, alive, and thinking, wow, you're always, amazed at there's these giant creatures and this stuff. And they held planetary life and ruled the earth, in a sense, as living beings for millions upon millions upon millions of years. Well, that's pretty long patience for a planet to be developed in terms of where it had to come to. There was a point where its planet was very unstable. Earthquakes, volcanoes, very common. Areas in which life could flourish and then perish and flourish and perish. But ultimately, through those many cycles, it did not develop the planet toward the ultimate aim. In other words, out of this planet didn't come the necessary kinds of people to populate the rest of the universe with, much of the universe. And although the universe is populated by many other ones, it's always a development, a time of development. Now, to develop this very resilient life and intelligent required some changes. And that change was, brought about the extinction of that area, that area of or domain of life. It didn't destroy the dinosaurs in terms of their completely destroy them, but it did put them down to the point where what came out of them was, you know, the birds, essentially. But what also came out of that was the opportunity for the development of what, where we would come from as people. But then ascending to a point where the individual was able to contain a divine fragment, and that divine fragment was only possible to be installed not just because of intelligence, but because of their ability to be attracted by universe gravity or paradise gravity. Paradise gravity's pull is essential for the ascension process. If a person is to ascend toward divinity, they must be able to be pulled by the gravity of paradise or the central domain of where the universe is organized from. And essentially, that is such an important force, and it is a force. It almost drives individuals toward it. But those who are driven by paradise gravity are able to distinguish between another force that we have here on our planet, which is life, just making life possible and making life easier. We can use many, many different devices in terms of how we live, in terms of creating the civilization that we live in, cities and these systems that we develop. And there are so many that are all tied together to make life work. But the life work necessary was all to be able to be attuned to paradise gravity. Now, getting back to the point of the tough times that we're in, these things are all, again, placed within Matthew chapter 24 and 25. You can see, if you read them, different things. There's also a time in which there will be a distinction between those who are paradise gravity attuned, in other words, those who want and are want to find God, the universe creator, and believe entirely in the central first source and center, the Father, through the Father Fractal's installation, and whether or not they be driven by some kind of religious drive. Ultimately, they will find the human divine bridge, which is commonly known as Jesus Christ. But he installs himself in each individual in a personal sense. And this is a very important factor, and that personal sense was made even to test his own disciples who walked with him as a human being, side by side, listening to his stories, writing down the stories, and in fact, getting them to a point where we have them preserved today. And they were preserved because they were so important to preserve. And one of the interesting things was that when he was resurrected in bodily morontio form, first level morontio form, he didn't have the appearance exactly the same as Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, this Jesus of human birth origin, you know, a human being born of a woman. And walking around and growing up, and finally gets killed and crucified, thrown in the tomb. There he is, and then dead, and then he's resurrected. But his resurrection is not the empowerment of his mortal body, but the actual real attainment of a higher Morantia form, which he was able to accomplish by himself. And then what he did was he took on a appearance which wasn't exactly the same. And the only way his disciples really could see him, even the Apostle Thomas, didn't believe. Because it didn't look like Jesus. He says, I'm not going to believe in you. None of you, I can see the marks, the crucifixion marks on you, you know, hands, holes in your hands, and, you know, put my hand in your side with your spear. Well, what had happened was, suddenly he didn't even have to do that, because he, through personality recognition, realized, hey, you are, even if you don't look like him, you are the Christ, resurrected. Well, the idea is the same, in the sense that in this, in we as people driven by paradise gravity to go find the truth, and we'll find it. We'll find the nature of and the personality of divinity within ourselves, crossing the bridge of that personality, who will give us insight into the higher realm and the fact that our planet is got a time clock on it, and ultimately that time clock is running out. But we, as the human individuals, gain recognition of his personality through ever-growing amount of relationship. Now, people wanted to know directly about his disciples, and others wanted to know about when he would come back. And this is where we are right now. Things are heating up around the world. There's also signs in the weather systems, the climate change. There have been different sounds being heard. All of these things, you'll be finding them real. And they are real. But other things will have to happen, which ends up being those who are pulled by paradise gravity will find themselves almost like you're like, if you were to wanted to, let's say, have you ever dropped a magnet, Curtis, into some dirt?
Oh, sure.
And then you find out, you pick it up, and where did all this stuff get stuck to it
from? Mm-hmm.
Well, that is because it has magnetic properties that the magnet can attract, right?
Right.
And it's a good filtering process, right? That you, if you wanted to gather up material, you could use a magnet that would attract magnetic material. A lot of times it's just iron-based stuff, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ferrous metal, but a bit iron oxides or whatever. Even ordinary dirt, you know, has a lot of iron in it. And you find that it attracts. But there's also a lot of other stuff that really doesn't. It just gets left behind because it's not attractive, right? To this extra force. Well, that's a similar way of looking at the paradise gravity filtering out these individuals who are going to be chosen by the celestial agents for removal. In other words, that is the difference. That is what makes some people taken and some people left behind. Okay? So, the characteristic I noticed about these celestial beings that I was with was they were all paradise gravity associated. They were well defined. The Sharuns, the Destiny Guardians, these 12, when they sung their song and all this blue light emanated from their tops of their head, that looked just like incense, like smoke, filled the room in bluish, purplish color. And it represented the power of the paradise gravity drawing out, and it made me realize that they had a connection, that they were demonstrating. And this is what I'm trying to say. We have that bit, that very same energetic difference about ourselves that can draw the line between somebody that's going to get attracted and chosen for the task of repopulating the universe. In other words, being translated into a process of essentially eternal life, or being left behind. And the choice will be made pretty clear, because there will be those who will just find the attraction toward the planetary methodology and its ways and its preservation of its paradigm and the way of doing it more important than discovering the universe purpose, the universal purpose of life, of all life, and discovering because of that a pathway that was being watched by this in so many different ways. There, many of these celestial beings are watching us develop technology, society, in fact, guiding, maybe allowing and inspiring more and more perfection in it. So as we look, I look back at these texts that are written in as the Holy Bible texts, biblical texts. They're very old, yet I find that there are areas in there that are directly associated with this coming important event. And that event is when they shall see the universe creator along with his numerous, celestial craft make their appearance. But before that happens, there's going to have to be some tough times ahead of us right now. In fact, sometimes that's going to be so severe that if they didn't intervene, there would be no survival. An extinction level event would happen. Hmm. You know.
How close are we to that now?
We're within our own lifespan that's going to happen. So that's not like, you know, when the Bible was written and these accounts were made. In fact, Jesus Christ himself saying how it's going to be when he comes back and what's going to happen. They had no idea that it would be many generations later. They thought it would be soon. you know, within their lifespan. But many, many things did not come back into place, although they always had problems in people, with people getting along with people. But they didn't have the celestial events necessary to bring in. I'm talking about climate change, I'm talking about pole shift, I'm talking about the sun going to be darkened, the moon not give her light. That's a lot to do with the dirtying up of our atmosphere, you know, and that can be caused by many, many effects. Some that can be an attraction of a cometary dust, as well as our own volcanic volcanoes, you know, going up. But sometimes that dust is, you know, not as significant as what it looks like, because it from what the Bible indication shows is it is that, but there are also a type of celestial orchestration where many stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. In other words, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Is what powers are there in heaven? Well, there are many, many powers, gravitational ones. People look at gravitational. But electrostatic energies, electromagnetic energies are probably greater powers that will be found. There's been a lot of the years, a couple years ago, there was a lot of, and still is happening right now, bangs and sounds and trumpeting that is going on. And there are an alert that is being made out, and there's right now being more and more tremendous sightings going on in terms of observing celestial cometary things that are going on, and saying, what is gathering about? Because I know for a fact that that the New Jerusalem, a place that I went, is a like a spaceport transition point. And there is even other gatherings of great size, majestic size, that has been spotted all around our planet in our solar system. So much so that even astronomers want to warn about them, and then there's this, all of a sudden there are all these astronomers that seem to get killed or have strange deaths that somehow happen, because these that are not paradise gravity attuned want to retain their place. And those that are paradise attuned to that gravity pull toward truth, toward light, toward life, are very willing to let go of things on our planet where others are not. They see that as the one reason to keep things going. And in a sense, it is, if it were to continue and become a perfectly attuned, running, smooth running planet, then the celestials would have no need to come in and look at a rescue mission and then actually enact it. There's some things that I talked about these signs, and you know, they'll be very significant in Matthew chapter 24. The Bible, Matthew chapter 24, speaks about, and that in the 27th verse it says, "For as lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, that's the title for Jesus Christ incarnated as human. His human incarnation as the Creator's Son was given that kind of title, Son of Man. But Son of Man also means being human. And a lot of times, celestials would be, you know, like, it was, Son of Man, listen to me. Or in other words, you human being, listen to me. But the coming of the Son of Man, or the Creator's Son, who was Son of Man, will be very well recognized. And it goes on and says, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. In other words, those who wonder at where the event is going to happen, if they cannot see beyond that, they can at least see the eagles. Now, the eagles are observing some kind of event. Now, as a fisherman, I would do the same thing, but if I wanted to find fish and I didn't, you know, I'm over there and I'm running around with my fishing lines out and I don't know where the fish are at. Birds are great observers from an altitude. You know, they kind of look around for their food. And where they're gathered about, that's where the fish are. So you go over there. You know they're there right below it. So this kind of sign, what they're giving us hints is that where the eagles are, not necessarily vultures, but the eagles are, they're the specific problematic events are going to be happening. And these eagles are the UFOs. There are many UFOs, and more will be sighted. And then there will be tough times. The pole shift will happen, and a gathering will take place. But the significant part about the gathering, you wondered about, Curtis, about what makes a person. You said Riley had tickets, right?
Oh yeah, he has tickets.
Symbols
he draws. Yes.
One of the things about the symbol is interesting is that anyone who possesses such a symbol has in themselves a kind of paradise gravity attunement. They look beyond this planet, right? This planet and its system.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not satisfied with it. They know an off-Earth system more perfect must be. And this is one of the things being shows a person is paradise gravity attuned, although they may not have fully understood the whole the program of Urantia's purpose. Although the Urantia's initial purpose was somewhat more simplistic. Now it's being very, very complicated because of the duality, the idea between good and evil being implanted into the planet and its culture. And then you have cultural, you got feuds and hatreds and some stuff that go beyond generations that make the planet very unstable. Well, these things, for a person who is paradise gravity attuned, is not important anymore, right? I have relatives, some of my family was bombed because they were from Hiroshima. Some of my mother's side, my mom's side family, they came from Hiroshima. Boom! Do I hate the American? No. Was that something that was done out of absolute hatred for the people directly under the bomb, Hiroshima, let's say. No. But it was done because of almost desperation. And what you have, this understanding of paradise gravity, you also know that these many souls are indestructible and will have their place to gain even more experience, because the only ones that actually get out of the program of ascension are those that choose not to. They choose a point of descension, or de-ascension, not descension, but de-ascension, point of decline, where they decline not to ascend. They decline to ascend, essentially, give it up. And that's by choice. And many times it finds its finds its origin, even its growth in an individual, in money, just ordinary money, because of the idea of what it can get you, and this whole idea of greater liberty, or build bigger barns and stuff like that. There was a teaching basically that came forward, and it went to this man who had great fields and great farm, and he says, "What are you going to do when you fill up your silo, your storage, your warehouse? What are you going to do?" He says, "Well, I'll just build bigger ones and hold more." He says, "You're a fool, because this day your soul will be required of you. But what's this whole thing about your soul be required of you? Whole thing is that our life and the purpose here, known well, very well by the celestials themselves, these people that I went and were with, is all about developing your soul, that part which is indestructible. And if you spend all the time maintaining that which is perishable, what is put in the barn is perishable. What all of that is for is maintaining the physical body, which is important, but it is not the purpose of life and all life. All life's purpose was summarized very simply by the Most High Veronidic Observer, who simply said, is to become as I, a being of pure light, everlasting and ever-faithful. That everlasting, ever-faithful individual, knowing full well the Most High First Source and Center, is the absolute divine purpose of all life, to create that which is not or has none of that available to them, to become that way. So what would be temporary, out of the temporary, creating the necessary scaffolding of all that which is in life to actually build that eternal soul which has paradise gravity attunement and divinity characteristics. That purpose is the purpose that was neglected by that man who desired to build greater barns and greater farms and greater silos and just keep getting bigger and bigger. For what purpose if he did not spend his time here becoming more and more paradise gravity attuned and realizing life's real purpose? And that is true worship. And true worship ends up discovering all kinds of wonderful secrets. But its pathway is always ascension, ascending, never descending, except to help another ascend higher. In other words, to condescend would be a way of not losing your place, but simply reaching down and helping another up. And this is many times what the you know, what are these aliens all about? Many of them are doing exactly that. And you wonder what all of these terrible programs. It's a fearful thing. It's written right there. In terms of the Bible, it says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, this embodied being having God-like characteristics, it's a fearful thing. Okay, so aliens and all their technology about them, their great telepathic abilities, all of this stuff can scare the pants off of you. But if you get to know their real agenda and their program, you find out it's about fulfilling our destiny toward the higher realms and ascending toward full divinity attainment. And that's the point that we're getting close to. And that point of, are we aligned? Are you just curious? Like, no, or what's this all about? Should you look at, you know, church groups as being, you know, I'm not interested in that. I just want to do my own thing. Well, that's your choice. But if you continue to just want to do your own thing, you'll end up being not paradise gravity attuned. You won't be able to be picked up. Remember, it's not by your choice at the last. There are many stories and in this very chapter. Matthew's 24th chapter talked about the flood, Noah's flood, which was a type of projected and foreseen event that could be prepared for over a long period of time, because Noah was able to build an ark. It takes some planning and some actual work. Well, it actually happened. But up to the time in which they had to get forward. One of the things that is interesting about this flood was it was described in a Sumerian concept of what had happened was pole shift again. Pole shift. Now, pole shift creates tremendous forces, not only tectonic forces, but it actually allowed for this ice sheet to slide off of Antarctica into the ocean and push up a gigantic, unbelievably powerful tsunami that would cover up, I mean, in mountains. And one of the things I noticed about a boat in a tsunami was looking at the Fukushima event and that Sendai tsunami that came through that region, and looking at the ships, some of them actually found themselves, as the water receded, on top of buildings, perfectly fine. They went up river, they went, or up into the valleys or whatever, the water filled up. So the ark actually was a very good design, and if it was able to be released into the ocean, back into the calmer part, would actually find a place to settle. Now, this makes all the sense. And what it did biblically shows that there was winds and rains that preceded it, a lot of rain and winds, fountains that broke up. This is exactly what had happened in terms of the event in Fukushima. They showed the ground becoming liquefied, actual water coming through up into different areas in Japan within the realm of that earthquake, and actually having these fountains and springs breaking up. So that was very, very close to what was biblically described as the Noah event. But what was significant, what has to be significant about, was the warning in which Christ said was that up to that time, people were just living their lives as if tomorrow was never going to, that event would never come. But when it did come and took them away, there were those who were left, and they could not get onto the arc. It's too late. Door closed. It had to close, otherwise it would sink. And they were left behind. Now, this idea of being left behind has been put forward in many different ways. But others have used this type of bunker mentality. But then biblically it shows that there will be those who will say, oh, watch out for these heavenly signs, because things that look like bullshit is for real. These signs are for real. We're going to dig ourselves holes in the mountain and survive. Well, that's exactly what biblically was showing us, is they shall ask for the rocks and the stones to cover them up and shield them from this event. Now, if we look at the divine purpose of all of humanity, which was given to me in my experience, that divine purpose is an ascended soul, being able to ascend to the point of being an eternal being of light, having a light body. Now, with that purpose in mind, if you were to just allow for none of those beings for paradise gravity to perish and not ever have anything to do with rescuing them, then the whole purpose was a farce, was a big joke. And it's not. They will, and indeed, have this high responsibility to make sure those who are attuned to paradise gravity will be saved. Not one left behind. Judge yourselves by what you want to do. And know that all of life experience helps build for this ascension process. But are you paradise gravity attuned? Have you made certain allegiances for the higher destiny? And that is really a tremendous choice in your life. Christian circles always say, well, not always, I mean many different Christian circles, some of them more evangelical, would tend to say, are you saved? And that, are you paradise gravity attuned, and do you want to be sure that you are? Are you making your seven psychic circles? Are you even aiming toward its center? Now, those are all part of the exploration experience that I came to understand, even with these many celestial guardians, some of which are wonderful, very divine sons, helping us attain that same divinity. Not to become God, but to become divine.
The New Jerusalem, that outpost out there, or that spaceport, that huge spaceport, it would occasionally, I think, what would it be like on Earth if that spaceport would start coming closer and larger, and how would the people on this planet be affected? I mean, could we get rid of these Lucifer kind of people and create a real paradise on this planet?
Yeah, well,
or do we have to leave?
Actually, there is a lot of, you might say, confusion about that part. Now, is this the part that needs to be saved? But
what do you mean? Is this the part? What do you
mean?
Yeah,
the Lucifer part. You know, do they need to have the planet anymore?
Well, the Lucifer people can go somewhere to the prison planet.
Ah, you got the idea. Yeah. Well, one of the things about this, all these events, these are tough times that are coming ahead of us. getting down to the choice is really going to become very, very clear. But once he shows himself, and let's see, it's this. This would be again in Matthew chapter 25, the next chapter over, around this area, closer to the. Let me look at this area right around here. Around the 31st verse, it says, when the Son of Man, again, Son of Man, the one who became, the God who became a human being, shall come in glory and with all the holy angels with him. Holy angels. Holy angels. Now, are they aliens? Well, one of the wonderful thing about death is a very general outline of these holy, meaning serving under the divine purpose. You mean separated for divine use. Or those who attain divinity. These holy beings, or those who are functioning under the divine governance, are numerous and of different, so many different celestial orders. Many are going to be material beings, and many are beyond material. And I include Marancho in terms of material beings, as another term for Marancho would be transdimensional, having higher dimensional properties. They can appear as physical as you and I, and yet they can dimensionally move through walls, or it's just something that is part of this order. But there is also the orders which are higher that are really beings of light. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And he shall gather all nations, and he shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Interestingly enough, both sheep and goats are domestic animals. They can be domesticated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but goats are hard because they just really cannot be herded very well. They do, you can herd them somewhat, but they get on their own way. But sheep, I tell you, they like to stay in, herds, yeah. Oh, they kind of, yeah.
And goats like to get on your car.
Yeah, they do.
Climb on your car, your roof.
Oh. Yeah. They got a different kind of nature about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it says over here, this is sort of a parenthetical insert into that statement where they start to say, the king shall say unto the right, because the sheep are on his right, come. He blessed of my father. Okay, blessed of my father. What does that tell you? The father fractal, the divinity fragment, the thought adjuster, divinity fractal, the father fractal, are those blessed of my father who have and contain and are functioning with and understand the higher realm that are being guided by the Father fractal, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What does that simply say? For the purpose of the world, for purpose of life, for all of those things, for the very fact that all life's purpose was to be blessed of the Father, or to function with the first source and center and enjoy all the experience of even the technologies that we can create They're fun. I mean, they're really lots of fun to see. Sometimes when they break, they can be a little bit of pain in the neck, try to fix them. But it's interesting to know that we did all these little things because of getting to know areas about the Father. The Father also is in areas which he changes not. He is very much this, you can actually see his functional work in physics and modern physics and actual function. Then you go into the extra or higher dimensional physics, which has a lot to do with what I'm saying, describing extra dimensional physics, another realm of metaphysics, some people would call it. And this is, and it's how these people are going to be wondering, you know, how is it that we get chosen for this? This is always, when I was hungry, he gave me meat. When I was thirsty, he gave me drink. When I was a stranger, he took me in. Naked, he clothed me. And I was sick, and he visited me. And when I was in prison, he came unto me. And says, the guy said, hi, the wretched people, or the people who are attuned to divinity and their way in which they operate, saying, when were we with you when you were hungry and fed you and thirsty? Well, when did this happen? And he says, when we saw the stranger and took the, no, all of this. And it, basically, Christ is telling a story. He says, when you did that to people, just other people, you did it to me. You were expressing the higher civilization attitude, the way, the one and only way that a civilization will rise up and never fall. Take care of each other. The great family. And this is what he was talking about. But yet, Jesus Christ tried to make it simple, bringing it down to the level of everyday man. I'm just bringing it out to the everyday man who just wonders, are we alone? Of course we're not alone. Heaven's filled with angels. You just happen to think a lot of them are, you can't classify them as angels because they don't look like angels. Because some of them don't have wings. I don't know. Some of them, I tell you, really did have wings.
They had wings?
Yes, yeah.
Who had wings?
They hid it under capes. They have capes. You wonder where capes came from?
I saw those drawings. Riley would draw them. The
beings with capes.
Yes, yes.
Under the capes. Yeah, because their physical origin, although they're human looking, has a lot more to do with the continuation. See, the dinosaurs did have a line which became sentient, but not on this planet, not on Earth, on another planet. For some reason on Earth, they never went that direction. So the direction that was on other planets where the reptilian rise became higher into a bird-like creature of sentience that became human, had hands and everything, but maintained wings. they functioned with wings, and under their capes they had wings. Others had other kinds of wings. There's a YouTube that actually shows a trans-dimensional seraphic individual that drops in, uncloaks behind his wings, the seraphic wings, and then cloaks back under. It actually looks like his wings close up, and he shoots back up. And it was caught on a camera, which is a security camera. And the person took a long time to take the video apart and slow it down so you could see the actual event. And it is an appearance of a alien being, but it's really a seraphic individual, one of the seraphic level or beings, transdimensional, higher morontial. farm. Yeah. So I think I'm trying to right now. I'm trying to remember what was the key search word for the YouTube. What did they title it as? I forgot. Shucks. Maybe it's really interesting. If I remember it, then maybe I'll mention it another time. And then what up? You know, that's nice to know about all this. You know, people who are father or paradise gravity attuned. What about those that didn't? Yeah. And it was the same thing. It says, when I hungered, you gave me no meat, and as a stranger didn't take me in. And, you know, this whole thing about not being attuned to the Father's nature. And they shall go, and it says, and these, this is their position. It says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, this eternal life part, I got to know really well. The eternal or the everlasting punishment part, I don't know. I really don't know about that very well. But apparently there is, maybe, but I don't know the exact how it works and why it works. Yeah, but the ascended being and their progress levels and programs, I got to know some of it. There's a lot more. And a lot of it is written out in terms of within the Urantia book. The Urantia book helps describe a lot of that. How the righteous enter into eternal life. Well, but there's that point where you describe the prison planet. It may be very well described, you know. I don't know. I do know of people who describe hellish looking scenes, and we're told to the very person that ordained me, she as a child was taken there. Apparently she might have had her age, she might have actually been suffering from the Spanish flu because the timing of her age, you know, she's gone already, she's gone on. But she was told by this, her guardian or her guide that was with her, that took her to that place and to watch this essentially everlasting punishment kind of place. She said, just tell people that you don't want to go there, because this planet is also recruiting for the very ones that brought disorder into the planet, as well as tried to bring it into the universe. And that those individuals, one of the most famous names is Lucifer, because he's the number one guy that started, called the Lucifer Rebellion.
Well, the Celestials have been watching us develop, you say, out in that outpost.
In duality, in choosing between both sides. What side do you want? And some of these choices are kind of in terms of black and white, not very clear, that gray area.
Well, I wonder if they think we're getting better or we're getting worse. I mean, they must have thought we were getting worse once we split the atom. And they've seen all the catastrophes that have trickled down the lane from that. That's just getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's going to happen during our lifetime, hopefully I'll be able to see the New Jerusalem getting closer and closer.
I think you might be being given a hint of the aspect of the observations that are going to be taking place. Because there are... NASA hasn't taken down that photo, right? You can just, of the the luminescent sphere.
Yes, but that's only one photograph. There could have been hundreds.
Yeah, right.
But they just left one there.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I spotted it, and I'm glad I did.
Many of those who work for NASA and work for, in astronomy and things like that, are paradise gravity attuned individuals. You know, they want to gain even more knowledge in their you know, they're not, you know, what you would call just Bible thumpers that just say, I believe in the Bible as it was written, and I believe in creation as exactly as what it is in Genesis. I mean, to me, that level of faith or description may have been necessary, but it does not rule out that there are other individuals who have very similar attunement that are highly scientific, highly intelligent, highly educated, and are paradise gravity attuned, and have made these very things that are said have actually helped feed the hungry and things like that. You know, these things just a part of being attuned to the divinity that's within ourselves and obeying it. And so, yeah, that's maybe one of the reasons that maybe they had some people give them orders. They got to get rid of these pictures out of Saturn, you know, out of Cassini.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off a whole bunch of them, but it just left left a significant one. So significant that they had to leave it because everybody, you know, figured it out. You found it and made it famous. You know?
Made it famous. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, today's the 28th of January, 2014. And I believe it was 1986 when the Challenger was sitting on the pad in ice with icicles. And the president at the time was going to do a State of the Union address. And he was, education was the subject matter, or some of the subject matter. And like Hollywood, he wanted to talk to the school teacher up there, and he told NASA, get that thing up there. And the NASA engineer said, well, we never tested it when freezing conditions with all those O-ring seals. Well, the engineers thought it was going to blow up on the pad. And when it lifted off, I mean, they told them to take off their engineering hat, put on their administration hat, and sign the document allowing that thing to take off. And unlike captains of ships or airplanes who are the boss, the captain of the Challenger was just part of the crew, that they weren't making the decisions. And unfortunately, we lost the shuttle and all those astronauts and got thrown backwards. But they just did the wrong thing. They should have allowed that other company in Dade County recondition those solid rocket boosters, because they said have it all one long tube, not sections. But because money talks, or anyway, they sent it to Utah, and they had to build railroad cars to send those sections out there and be refurbished. So the president gets in the way, and Lucifer gets in the way, but we certainly could use some help. I would like to see the New Jerusalem just come closer and closer and have them straighten this planet out before it gets worse.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about it coming, you know, in heaven, seen with great glory, you know. Yeah. All the holy angels with him sitting on a throne of his glory. What would be the throne of his glory? Well, his outpost or his it's called a creator sun architectural sphere. An architectural sphere for the creator sun, or for the purpose of the creator sun, is a sphere that luminescence as it glows, which is the character of the New Jerusalem, or that whatever the mothership, what Riley liked to call it, the mothership, you know.
Mothership.
But it glowed. It was glorious. But that's also his throne, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it could be, it was you know, whoa, they're going to see it. Yeah.
Well, what Riley drew for me that I put on the cover of The Coming of Tan was what he saw when he first got there. Like you said, oh, it looks like an egg. It looks like a light bulb. And yeah. Riley drew those three sentinel globes around it. And then that on the NASA connection page, you can see that telescope photograph from Earth of the New Jerusalem. And there with the sentinel globes protecting it.
Right.
Well, we certainly would like to see it get closer and have more people hear your wonderful words and what Sharon also has spoken to us about. They are fantastic. And, well, let's call you again next Tuesday and record again.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to... Paul J.S.'s question, who he's been wanting to ask about the hollow earth. Mm-hmm. Is the earth hollow? And he wanted Sharon to confirm. Well, when Sharon gets back on, maybe I can ask Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
But others say the earth is hollow and so are the other planets.
Well, yeah, not necessarily like the architectural sphere, which
is not really, like that. That's a shell.
Yeah, a shell. Yeah.
That's a
We're not a shell.
We're not a shell. We're all that lava comes from somewhere. It's not.
Yeah,
from
but
the
there's
center.
A lot of hollow spaces. You know, I mean, really. Mm-hmm. I remember my friend fell in a lava tube, a hollow space. Oh. I mean, you fall into it. There's no way you can climb out because it's a round tube. And it's dark.
Black.
Yeah.
Except for where he fell through.
Yeah. And that was covered up by grass. So even, you know, he just fell through and the grass closed back behind him. You know, it's on the Big Island of Hawaii.
I've been in that Thornton lava tube on the Big Island.
Yeah.
That was amazing to walk through, realizing that molten rock was flowing through this tunnel.
Right. So, you know, hollow spaces are very common. Mm-hmm. And gigantic hollow space. They call them what? Carlsbad caverns and things like that. Caverns.
Caverns.
We know about, you know. But could there even be even more gigantic ones?
Mm-hmm.
I had a strong suspicion. I have a strong suspicion that that place that my pastor that ordained me was taken was on Earth.
Mm.
It was a cavern, gigantic, close to molten magma, you know, that was pooling, you know, and it's actually a sea of it. And I kind of suspect that's one of the things about the hollow Earth and where this may be, this one of these places of... See, the thing about it is, there have been people that have earth-taken there, spent some time there, and their attitudes were changed one way or another, or they learned something, and they were suddenly found themselves awakened back in their body to live completely different lives than they were living. And it's a kind of a place of attitude adjustment, but that's not everlasting punishment. I think the everlasting punishment place must be even worse. Yeah.
Well, we will talk again next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And aloha, Michael.
Aloha.